it's basically negligible.
No, I would almost argue, I would say that pre-human fetuses or pre-person fetuses is or less than animals, yes.
What the
Well, you keep saying subsumed by, but I think it's just powered by. Like, why do we have bodily autonomy? Because if somebody's taking your autonomy from you, it's a form of harm, right?
Yeah, but if you are using your... Oh, sure. Sorry, I didn't... I don't know if I thought about it in the negative sense. Let me write that down. I need to think about that.
All right, go hit me up. What do you got? Hello, hello. What do you got? What do you got for me? Buckaroo.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I'm a progressive Dem who thinks that life likely begins at conception. I wrote down a ton of different issues that I think with the pro-choice position. And I also kind of want to make a meta argument that arguing about abortion is completely futile.
Base. So, okay.
Should I get started? I wrote down a bunch of different things I'd love to hear, because I've kind of been waffling about my specific positions quite a bit. So I'm honestly kind of open to hear. Like, I don't think I'm locked in this position.
All right. Give me your first number one. Let's go down it. What do you got?
Okay. So first off, I really dislike a lot of different arguments that pro-choice advocates give.
Okay.
I'm sure you've heard the violinist argument.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. Just give me your positive arguments.
You also. Great. Okay. So the first is, I don't know if this is a positive argument. Okay. We'll skip that one. the first is that, I kind of have a degree in philosophy. I've got one more class to do.
Cringe.
We talked about there were what? Oh, cringe.
Philosophy is cringe. Well, and school is cringe.
Yeah.
And degrees are cringe.
Getting a.
And abortion is true. Cringe. I'm sorry. Just go ahead. You're fine. Go. Give me the argument.
Okay. All right. So we talked about in class that there are like in Latin, there's like two different categories, like Zoe and Bios. And the first is like biological universal life. And Bios is like humanness, personhood, worthiness. Okay. Right. And that like we need a, I think this is something that you believe as well. Right. I think most people believe this, that like we obviously treat sperm, even though sperm has human DNA, we can throw that away. We can flush that in the toilet. No one gives a fuck. But also, you know, we obviously wouldn't do that with a person. Right. Mm-hmm. I think my claim is that there's a third category. I don't know what to call it. I think I'm going to call it like, fuck, like, I guess. Okay. But damn though, like I think that there's a gradient to these lives, to life essentially, that like we aren't callous enough to kill them without thought, but we also don't treat them as worthy of being human. Okay.
Okay.
Do you agree with this?
Yeah, but whatever category you make here, if it's not getting the full human life, I think it would auto-fail any kind of bodily autonomy argument, because now the woman has a very easy, like, if it's not getting like the full consideration of a human being, then it's like, okay, well.
I think my first argument is that I don't think bodily autonomy is an argument at all. I think it can be fully subsumed by don't harm others. I don't know if bodily autonomy makes sense.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, it would, but the thing would fail at that point, right? If there's a thing inside if there's a thing inside of you that's harming you that doesn't get the consideration of a human, when would you ever
harm it? Yeah, no, sorry. Of course. If you, if you're trying to save a woman's life, of course. Like,
No. Just being pregnant, right? There's that condition, the being inside somebody's body, taking resources. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if it's fair to call that harm though.
Well, does it?
Do you think
it does in every single metric or any possible way we could measure good outcome versus bad outcome? It seems like every single thing is getting worse for the woman. No.
To some degree.
Well,
sure,
to every degree. Or can we think of any exceptions to this?
Well, okay. No. I'm saying, yeah, obviously that their life is getting worse to some degree.
Yeah.
But like in every metric to some degree.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know if it's to such a degree that it would involve terminating the life of that second category. Like an example that I often use, I think I heard you say this. I don't follow a ton of your stuff, but I do think that you said that this is like, a fetus is very similar to like an unconscious, like a brain dead vegetable, right?
Like, sure.
Okay, sorry, that might not be your argument, but whatever. I've heard this, and I think that intuition is pretty fair. But
the brain dead vegetable we terminated the second it was causing any harm at all, basically to anybody else. I don't think you would tolerate any amount of harm from.
Sure. But I also think that we would probably likely describe someone as a little bit antisocial or psychotic or not psychotics, like maybe a little bit psychopathic, if they don't give a fuck and they're willing to fully just step away from the vegetable, if they're like, no, just pull the plug, I don't care. It's just, it's nothing to me. I think that most people would say you obviously need to treat it at least with some degree of
what, how much harm do you think a person care. Would generally bear for that?
No, no, no. Sure, sure, sure. And there is a threshold. I agree that there's a threshold.
But whatever that threshold is, it's going to be way past being pregnant for 9 months.
I don't know if it's that fucking harmful. Sorry, I have two kids. Uh-huh. And like, yeah, for sure. My wife, like it was a lot of harm that was being done. Harm seems like such a strong word. I don't know if I would use the word harm. Sure, it's negative, right? Like her back was aching. It was fucking, it was hard to do. Like I saw how.
What's the one thing in your mind that's making it not harmful? There's an answer here. I know what it is. Can you?
Well, no, that harm is such a strong word.
Yeah, but why do you think it's a strong word?
I think what you're saying is that it's a strong word because it's not a person that's doing it. Is that?
No, you think the harm aspect, you're downplaying it in your mind because a baby came out at the end that you want, which in my personal experience, almost every woman I've ever spoken to who's born children says that. It feels like the people that overplay the bad aspect of pregnancy are usually women that have never been pregnant before and have no intention to be, or men who are just talking about I'm saying that like that's because there's a baby coming out at the end that you want. What if you don't want it? You don't want to have a family, and now you're like held hostage by that entire pregnancy process.
Right.
Yeah. How could you? Yeah.
I totally agree with this, and this does get to my later argument, which is that any prescription that I make needs to be countered by other people's intuitions about the like when life begins. And I think that like I'm not advocating for a law that just states abortion should be illegal.
Well, sure. We're not even getting to that point yet. We're just on this first part.
Yeah,
of
no,
life.
I know. But that, so I agree. I'll concede that, of course.
Okay, yeah.
That my intuitions are different from other people.
Well, no, absolutely. This isn't an intuition thing. I think that if I could inflict pregnancy on somebody, but there was no baby at the end, would we say that person has been pretty severely harmed?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. That injury is going to be worse than what most people will encounter in their life, right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So then we can say pregnancy inflicts a great deal of harm. It just tends to be kind of worth it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm happy to use the word harm. Okay. Yeah. I think what I would say as well is that I don't think it's just because I'm a man who wants the baby. I do think that a lot of women who believe that life begins at conception and that like family is the heart of their moral system would not say harm in the same way that I would.
Sure, that's fine. But I would fight on the definition. It's like a thing that if you don't want the baby, there's just no what other word would you use to describe it?
If you don't want the baby, what other word
would you use to describe the process of pregnancy? Or if you take the process of pregnancy, if you inflict pregnancy on somebody but there's no baby involved and it's just the same thing and then at the end nothing comes out,
I'm fine to call it a negative experience for sure. I feel like harm demonstrates like some sort of like permanent or lasting damage.
Well, I super and disagree. Like, if I punch you in the face, that's harmful, right? But you're not permanent.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Well,
sure,
you
sure,
might be
sure,
able to
sure,
punch sure. you because I'm fucking
whatever.
Shredded.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nice. Yeah. Whatever. I'm happy to concede the harm
okay.
discourse. But here's I think my main thrust of the argument, which is that I do think there's a futility to arguing about abortion, and I know there's some sort of like contradiction about me coming
okay,
in.
Okay, that's we're going to move to the meta argument. I actually agree with you here, but it's going to be something else that I'll hit on. But go for it. I'll see how you get there.
Okay, so yeah, I'm getting my degree in philosophy of language. So like in something in linguistics that we talk about a ton is that you can't make normative claims using descriptive models. Like a common thing that people do is they use a dictionary and say this is how people ought to act.
Oh yeah, I understand. It's a gap, but that's. But that's technically true of all morality, depending on your perspective, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. But I think my point is that normal political conversations, like we can just allow assumptions about our intuitiveness about mm-hmm. morality. We can just say people being murdered by guns is bad. And then how do we stop that? Right. Sure. Like we're never having conversations about is that bad? Is that good?
Yeah, I agree.
And in abortion is kind of a unique political argument because that's always what we're arguing. Is when is it bad and when is it good? I think I think that anytime people argue about abortion and they make concessions like that's not a life though, or that is a life though, like everything boils down to life in terms of abortion. Like, everything boils down to whether or not you're inflicting harm on a human, on a human being.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So I watched this debate that you did, and you basically said, whatever, you can disagree if this is exactly what you said, but you said basically, yeah, well, you wouldn't save a fetus over a child in a burning home. That's why it's okay to throw a 10-week-old baby out despite your intuitions. Do you agree with that statement?
A 10-week baby or a 10-week, like, fetus?
Yeah, fetus. Oh, sorry.
Do I agree with that statement?
My bias is sleeping in.
I mean, I guess it depends on the context that I'm using that statement in, but...
Okay. I guess my question is, how doesn't this just get flipped into a never-ending cycle? Like, how can't the other person go, yeah, well, you would throw a 10-week-old baby out, or fetus out. Sorry, gotta edit my notes here, showing my biases. You would throw a 10-week-old fetus out. That's why it's okay to save a fetus over a child in a burning home, despite your intuitions. Like, all you're doing is arguing about intuitions that are clearly... You guys clearly have different intuitions about when life begins.
Yeah, so this is my so this is what I disagree with. I don't think that there are different intuitions here. So my argument, especially as I guess like a moral anti-realist who believes in a great deal of I won't say subjectivity. Actually, that's not true. I believe that all of us have similar biological underpinnings, and I think that from those underpinnings we get our human things that emerge from us, and one of those human things is like our culture, our preferences, things that are downstream from that, like our morality and our laws. Okay, and I think that for some debates we might be debating about our ideal worldview or whatever. In other debates, I think some people are very much pushing you or begging for an unintuitive or a view that doesn't immediately strike one as like moral or immoral, and I think there's a great deal of exploration that has to happen there. So when I'm arguing with a Christian, I feel like there is a whole lot of intellectual legwork that they're having to do in order to try to convince you that you have an intuition that I don't believe any of us actually have. I don't think that anybody has the intuition of looking at a single cell creature or a 1 week or 2 week, fetus or whatever. I don't think anybody has the intuition there that like, oh my God, this is a precious human life that needs to be protected. I think that you have to intellectually build your way there, or you have to program yourself to get there to see it over and over again. There's a humorous way of explaining this and seeing that one guy show the picture to Charlie Kirk saying, do you think this is a human life?
Yeah, the dolphin. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So usually that when I'm arguing about when does a person's life begin, when do we defend personhood? Well, to try to test that intuition at the beginning, what I usually do is I try to go to the very end and I try to say, well, where is the intuition at the end of life? When do we feel like a life is over? Is it when you cut off somebody's arm? No. Is it when you cut off somebody's, cut out somebody's heart? What if you put a fake heart in? No. What about when you replace their brain or head? Well, that starts to feel more. Yeah. So it feels like there's something going on there. And once the brain doesn't function any longer, even if we keep the body alive indefinitely in a machine, it feels like, I'm pushing on, like, if I give an example of a thing, what's your gut reaction? Like, ooh, like, I don't like that. Or, ooh, I think I would. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
I think I disagree about the gut reaction. Like, I understand that if you look at a fetus, you're not going to feel warm and fuzzy feelings about it. But I do think sitting in the doctor's appointment when we first got the ultrasound, like, I had an intuition that, like, that's a thing that needs protecting. And my wife had an intuition like, that's a fucking parasite in my body. But I also think, like, I know that someone would say, okay, well, that's because that's in her body. But I think that my mom would side with me.
Were you guys trying to get pregnant?
No. Well, kind of. It was a half accident. We were saying that we wanted kids, but then we didn't really get off birth control. It came a little bit earlier than we wanted.
Okay.
Both times.
Well, okay. So I mean, like, so that I feel like then it's not necessarily that it feels more intellectualized to me. Like, you're going there, like, this is like, you're not like seeing a thing and you're like, oh my God, like, I have an immediate gut reaction. It's more like you're starting the process of having a baby, and basically every single thing along the way is going to be like a fun, cool thing. Right.
You said you have two kids.
I'll fight you to the death on this. Like, newborns, probably for like the first month, they're fucking hideous. They're disgusting alien creatures. But it's like when you see your baby, it's like your baby. I'm saying like the
I hear you. I mean, I wouldn't say hideous, but I would for sure say like I think there's a reason why consciousness doesn't really strike true to me, and that's because I look at I got a 2-month-old kid, barely conscious, dude. Like, she is doing absolutely nothing. She just I saw her smile for the first time like yesterday. Like, she's not doing a thing. She's sleeping, pooping, crying. That's the three actions that she gives. And like, when it comes to consciousness, I look at my older kid and I'm like, that dude knows what's going on. He is looking around. He sees things, like he's interacting with things in a way that is way more indicative of like human life. And I might even make the claim that that's more of a person than she is. I might use language in that way. But then doesn't that defeat the whole pro-choice argument wherein we talk about human life as a gradient? Like, I would obviously say it's horrific for her to be killed, even though she's not as conscious as he is. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I wouldn't describe consciousness as like a gradient where you're like more or less conscious. I would say that when the mind emerges from structures underneath, and then once the mind is there, the mind will grow as the structures underneath grow. But I would say like a 1-month-old has a mind, is conscious, is having an experience, is a little overwhelmed by all the sensory input now that it's out in the world and everything. But like,
yeah,
and
but it, who's
yeah, go ahead.
Who's using more clinical language now to like reconstruct? You don't like I.
Well,
I feel
the clinical
like
language
would
be like the thalamocortical fucking tube from the spine or whatever extends of the 24 weeks is what I was like, if you want to do this, the clinical language. But I mean, like, there's no clinical language, I don't think, to describe stages of consciousness, right? You either have like a conscious experience or you don't. You can argue about like being impaired, I guess, if you're like doing drugs or whatever, but you wouldn't say that an impaired person has no conscious experience.
Sure. Well, I would. No, but I do think we would say that they're less conscious. No? Like, we would say that, like...
I mean, you could, but the language we're using there is not the same thing we mean when we talk about does somebody have a conscious experience.
You think I'm equivocating? Okay, maybe I don't understand your definition of consciousness then. I might be equivocating.
Sure, a mind like ours, right? When the ability to have an experience, to have a human experience with a human mind, I think that is a...
Wouldn't a deeply drunk person have a more muddied version of
I mean, it might be temporarily abated, I guess, in the same way that a person sleeping, you know, has maybe a temporarily abated experience. But like,
I guess my question is, wouldn't my daughter, who's 2 months old, be less conscious using your definition too?
I mean, you can argue, but you can argue that there might be somewhat of a lesser experience, but it's like, it's bucketed. Like, the experience is there, that maybe there is a gradient there, but there's no moral gradient, right? Like, there's a big difference.
Yeah,
like, there's a difference between like a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, right? But all of them are, I shouldn't use a pedophile rape example. There's a difference, like, there's an interesting 7-year-old and a 12-year-old signing a contract, but neither of them should be able to sign a contract. They're both minors, right? So, like, even it's even worse for the 7-year-old than the 12-year-old, but, like, they're still both bad, right? So just because you have some gradient in describing some experience, you can still bound that gradient on both sides.
No, sure.
With some moral, like, absolute statement, yeah. Well, yeah, sure.
Sure. When's your claim? When does consciousness occur?
Like 20 to 24 weeks is when the underlying brain structures are developed and communicating with each other.
Okay, and you would advocate for? I'm curious about your position. Would you advocate for like in a bunch of blue states? It's, you know, you can have third trimester abortions.
Well, on the legal side, I think you have to keep abortion legal the entire time. Unfortunately,
is that because? Because women would go outside of the legal system.
Because if you need an abortion for medical reasons, having even third trimester abortions be illegal can lead to a whole bunch of weird hurdles that make it so that even somebody who's getting an abortion for a life-saving reason still dies because there's too many tests that have to be done so that the doctor covers their back, basically.
Sure, but do you think can't I just argue that those hurdles should be mitigated?
What does that mean? What do you mean by that? Oh, like make them easier to overcome or something?
Yeah. That like, couldn't I just say, okay, well, yeah, those hurdles shouldn't be that strong then. Like, it shouldn't be so much so that a woman is dying on the hospital floor and the doctor's like, oh, well, shit, I got to do all of this stuff. I think that we, couldn't I just say, well, that's the issue then? Not necessarily that like the law in essence shouldn't exist, but that we should just change it a little bit.
I don't know if you could do that. At all.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Just because, like, the idea that, my guess is going to be that doctors never want to have to consider criminal liability for performing a procedure. And that if you introduce, even if you say, before there was a 30% chance, now there's only a 5% chance. My guess is a lot of doctors are like, why would I ever do? I'm never doing this procedure. This is just not worth my time, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, I would say it's immoral to get like a recreational abortion, if you want to call it that, like in the third trimester. I think it's not. I think that would be immoral. Yeah.
Right. And I often, something that does bother me about pro-choice arguments is people talk about how rare it is for third trimester abortions to occur. Like, I for sure agree. I think it's 1% of abortions, or maybe even less than that. But like, my question is so what? Like, why does the rarity of the event mean that we shouldn't be talking about it?
Well, probably because people will take the outer perimeter examples and then try to extrapolate that to the entirety of the abortion.
Sure, argument. That's fair. Okay. That's probably true.
Conservatives know this argument well, because when you talk about making guns illegal, they say that it's only a small percentage of people that are committing crimes with guns, therefore. So, I mean, like, they'll use it for other things, yeah.
Okay, so, sorry, just to be clear, your position is that people's intuitions on when life begins is not different between each other. Like, you fully believe that, like, as a society we've constructed...
Yeah, I think the intuitions on when life begins is probably around... The intuition, I think, is probably around birth. And it's maybe earlier when you can feel the fetus starting to kick a lot, when the man can. Fuck
yeah,
but I feel it earlier. But maybe around there. But like,
there's,
yeah,
it can't be birth, because I do think that when people have these intuitions about like I think like one of the big things that that intuitively I think about a lot when it comes to abortion is like, it doesn't make any fucking sense to argue that like a woman can give, like you can cut a woman up, pull the baby out, and it would be perfectly fine. Like, it's a full functioning baby that like doesn't need a lot of.
Yeah, no. I don't disagree with you there. I'm just saying, like, intuitively, what do you feel? Like, this is, we're intellectualizing a bit. Like, well, what if we could keep a baby alive? If we deliver them earlier, we do a C-section, whatever. I agree with you there. That's why I don't say birth. I think that's kind of crazy, at least morally. I'm intellectualizing a bit, but like, I don't think intellectualizing is always bad. But when we're intellectualizing, I think we're using things like science, or we're using our reason to try to like further expand upon or clarify what our actual intuitions are. So for instance, you know, a long time ago, we might have said, well, when a person's heart stops beating, they're dead, they're gone, okay? And it's like, Right. Okay, is that really true? Like, well, when their heart stops, yeah, I mean, they kind of are dead. And it's like, well, what if we could keep the heart going long enough to do something else? Like, oh, well, maybe, you know, in this case, yeah, sure, right? And then we kind of like further refine our understandings of death. So that's like kind of intellectualizing it a bit. But we're doing it to push in, like, our intuitions still, are still guiding there. Yeah, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a hard time, because my positive argument then, I feel like my positive argument is bookended very neatly in that in almost every single intuitive way, there's like a billion different examples, I feel, where intuitively it's always leaning in my direction. Like, when is a person dead? I think we would very easily say the person is dead when they are brain dead, right?
Okay. Sure. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to distract. I just had a thought. So my prescription is specifically like, so I'm coming. I know you disagree idea that like,
sorry, go ahead.
What?
My thing was lagging for a sec. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My specific prescription is that I do think that my intuitions are different from the average, or might be different from the other person. So we should just find out where the median American is, and then that's where we should decide that life begins. You would say, and I've got polls that say like people are wildly different on when life begins. You would say that's because people are intellectualizing or ideologizing.
We're not polling on our moral intuitions, right?
Why wouldn't...
Intuitions are things that are way deeper. That's coming out way before. Like, nobody has the moral intuition, for instance, that like illegal immigration is bad. That's like way down the road when you hit on policy positions there, right?
You think that... Sorry, repeat what you said. You said that people don't have intuitions on when life begins?
When people don't vote, have you done like classes on ethics?
Sure. Yeah.
Do you know how there's and I could be retarded, but you know,
I'm mostly in analytic philosophy, but
okay. Continue. You know, there's like meta ethics, there's like normative ethics, yeah. There's like applied ethics.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like, and I can be wrong, but when we're thinking about like things like moral intuitions, like where does our sense of goodness come from or whatever, this feels like a meta ethical question to me. When we're thinking about things like what should the law be? This is, we're like past even like applied ethics. So to say that when you pull a question a person and they give you like this applied ethic, this policy position, to say that that's them telling us their meta ethics or like their moral intuitions, I think we're really far removed
because you would obviously have a distinction between where life begins and also what should be legal.
Well, I'm just saying that they could have that position for any number of reasons that they don't understand.
No, totally. That's fair. That's super fair. Okay. I think that's fair.
Like, I could argue the vegan argument is the strongest here, right? Where you say, how many of you support animal agriculture? And everybody would say, like 95% of people would say yes. But then it's like, how many of you would support watching your neighbors breed and then slice up and eat their, you know, like a family of dogs?
Right.
I feel like for America, I'd be like less than 10% would be okay with that. So like, where are the intuitions? It's not coming out in this polling question, because I would argue that this two different, the same set of intuitions can't lead you to both things. There's something else has to be operating, I would say, right? Yeah.
Sure. I will say that, like, it is the case. I think about the veganism argument a lot, and that's mostly because I think I see in other people what vegans see in me. Because I see the same thing in pro-choice arguments that vegans see in me. Because I often say that, like, it doesn't matter if animals die. They don't have, like, moral consideration. Okay. But then I was asked recently if I would change to impossible meat if it cost and tasted the same. And I was like, of course.
Sure.
But like, why would it be of course if I just said that it doesn't matter? You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like I'm holding this intuition and I've intellectualized, I've covered it up completely, when that's absolutely not how I feel. Obviously, I think that it's bad if animals suffer. I just have had to intellectualize it because I also want to eat meat. I think it tastes good.
Sure. I mean, there could also be like, there could be, I don't know if in ethics, if there's like a category for like secondary moral considerations or whatever, but like, it could be that there are things that have moral consideration that are in different buckets, and that there's like a threshold that could move you from one to the next. So for instance, it sounds shitty, but like, given the choice between my son's life and like two other kids, I would expect most people would pick their child.
They're on the track.
Between three or four other kids, probably. But if it was like my kid and like 1,000 other kids, man, like, even if you did pick your child, you're going to feel like shit about it, you know? And is this because, you know, like, well, do other children not have moral consideration? And well, it's like, well, no, from a subjective perspective or from a subject or whatever, if you're looking at things, like, your family members are probably bucketed in a higher category that are literally just categorically different. But like, there's a threshold that could be overcome, you know, in a lower thing. So like, maybe for animals, it's not that they have, like, you wouldn't necessarily give the same moral consideration you'd give a car, an animal. And like, maybe there is some level of harm reduction that can happen for animals. You don't necessarily think they're humans, but like, they should have some consideration. And if you can make their life significantly better, or you're like, that could be an argument. But also, who cares if vegans suck?
Yeah. Do you think that it's possible that like preconscious fetuses have some degree of moral consideration, but it's just so consistently overtaken by the mother that it's basically negligible?
No, I would almost argue, I would say that pre-human fetuses or pre-person fetuses is or less than animals. Yes.
What the okay, sure. You have to acknowledge though that, I guess that's my question, is like, I think that most people intuitively go what the fuck to that, in the same way that I just did. Like, that feels like such a strong like, how do you contest that? That like, I do think that if you
here's
ask
like, this is the thing. If I were to show
that,
you,
it,
let's
crazy.
Say I show you in a petri dish, I get you a microscope, and there is a single cell underneath it. There's one cell. And let's say that I reach my finger into the petri dish and I crush it.
No, I understand.
No, wait. Do you feel the death of a human being there? Does that feel anything?
No,
okay.
Obviously not.
Yeah. So I don't believe that intuition exists. I think you have to hardcore intellectualize your way there. I think a lot of people have, especially because of religious argument. But like, so I would say that, what if there were 1,000 single cell zygotes in that petri dish, and then I blip my finger in and I crush all 1,000 of them? Are you going to feel like a genocide was just committed? No. The intuition,
no,
I would argue,
no,
is entirely
like,
absent. Yes.
Sure. But I worry sometimes. This feels like the alpha wolf example, where you take a wolf outside of its environment and then you do all these experiments on it and you find out how wolves behave. It's like, but you took it out of the environment in which you made all of these claims originally. You can't look back at the place that you took it out of. I guess my point is, I don't know why I have to be intellectually consistent on pulling a fetus out and it's in little IVF petri dish, and I have to consider it the same in the way that like it would be in a pregnant woman. Like, I understand intellectually it doesn't really make sense, but that is where my intuitions are lying. I do think that, sorry, that's where my intuitions are. It's that I think that if a baby is in a pregnant woman, I do feel more like that's a person than if I took it out. And I don't know why that's the case.
Yeah, but I don't think you feel like it's a person. I think you feel like it's on the way to becoming a person.
No, No, I agree. It's in that second category. That's what I was talking about. It's a gradient to life, but it's certainly more than sperm. It's certainly, I feel more for that than someone jizzing in a toilet. I don't give a fuck. But if someone threw that into the toilet, I'd go, fuck. I don't love that. But it's certainly also less than if someone killed a baby in front of me.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily disagree. But like if I wanted to go to school for music and I get into a bad accident and then I like lose like four or five fingers on my right hand, like I would feel really devastated about that because I really wanted to be a musician. But I would never say that somebody took music away from me, or I was a musician and now I can't be. I would just say, okay, well, there was a thing there that it would have been nice, but now I don't have the opportunity to go that route. But you didn't lose the thing. You just the whole journey was just kind of like aborted, one would say.
I don't understand your point. Maybe I got caught up in the semantics, but I do think that most people would say, well, I lost that life ahead of me. Like, I do think in colloquial
Yeah, but it would be language. Different than the, it would be different than the thing itself. Like, it would be sad to lose a potential of the, but it would be different than the thing itself. Well, no, wait. Don't ever say that around me, okay?
What?
It's not
don't say I get caught up in the semantics.
Well, because we're talking about important concepts. If you're bored and you
want to... No, but I'm equivocating. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
If you're bored and if you want to read this later, but I can summarize this. There's a paper called The Scourge, Moral Implications of Natural Embryo Loss. Okay. If it was the fact that we really did feel like zygotes were people, then like the absolute worst atrocity on the planet is like the mass loss of fetal life that is happening right now.
That's only if you treat embryos as the same moral consideration as literal people. And I'm saying, no, they're in a second category.
Okay. If you want to put them in a second category, then you can do that, but it's going to be almost impossible to fight against the woman's right to her own body. If there's a contest between her, because she, I imagine, unless you're based, that women have like full rights to their body and they are like people that get, you know, rights.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So if 9 months of pregnancy is in conflict with another thing that doesn't even have the same threshold of like human rights, there's no way that you're ever choosing that other thing. You're always prioritizing.
I think my moral intuition is keep the baby. And like I do think I'm willing to bite quite a bit of bullets and say no. Yeah, I do think in these cases it's actually like your moral consideration as a human being does not outweigh this because it's a slight harm that's being done to you and you're fully terminating the second category. And like, whatever, I had it as an accident and the second one came a little bit closer to the first than I would want. And I knew that our life was going to be fucking way harder. It was going to be miserable. And it was never a question to me to keep it because obviously that matters to me, that second category. I don't know if I would call it a life, but in my head, I do call it a life. Like, I'm like, that's a life, and I can't terminate that. I do think that
if
my
like if it would have been an ectopic pregnancy, or if she would have had a spontaneous abortion at like
of course.
14 weeks, are you guys having are you gonna have like a funeral?
Okay, well, maybe not. I think I would mourn that. And also, one of my best friends had a funeral for someone who for a baby that was she had a miscarriage at like, I don't know, like 15, 18 weeks or something like that. Now, I think that's a little extreme. I don't know if I would go down the funeral route, but like I would certainly be mournful. That would certainly
Being mournful, sure.
Break
but
my
you'd
heart.
Be sad, but like would you have a when I say have a funeral, what I'm implying is that like is this the same mourning as if you lost like a 1-year-old
Obviously
child?
Not. Obviously.
Okay, yeah. I think it's like fundamentally a different type of thing. I still think miscarriages can be tragic. But the biggest issue I think is that I think that if the other side of this, if the pro-life side is being fair, and if I argue this, as we have, I think it is entirely reasonable to say that there are legitimate contentions on when we can say, the development of a human, when they assume personhood, whether that comes at the moment of conception or 20 to 24 weeks. I think we can say there's a legit, I would argue more than legitimate, but I would say there's a legitimate sense of disagreement here. So we know that. And then on the other side, we could say there is no disagreement that a woman has rights to her body. And there's no disagreement that 9 months of pregnancy is of all the injurious things a person could endure, it's up there with probably most things, okay? So if we know that we have the rights of women on one side and that they have to endure something for 9 months, and then on the other side, there is a legitimate contention as to when this personhood should be granted, then I think that you have to fall on the side of, well, then it should be legal at least up to the first, or like morally it should be acceptable up to the first trimester, and then legally our laws would need to accommodate that if there's a legitimate contention here. Because the pro-choice position doesn't force anything on the religious person. If you think that having an abortion is unethical, then carry it to term. Do whatever you want with it. But the pro-life person forces the incubator position onto the woman who thinks, I don't even think this thing inside of me is a person yet, and you're going to make me endure all of this because we have a disagreement.
1,000,000%. Yeah, and that's why I think my prescriptions don't involve – like I think I've said, well, where do most people lie on this? Because I don't think that I have the hubris to say, well, here's where my intuitions are, therefore that's what's true. I agree with you.
Oh, well, if we don't disagree with the laws or whatever it looks like, then we don't – then what is our disagreement even?
Yeah, maybe. Like I hear what you're saying. Like there is a reason I still vote Democrat every election, and that's because – first off, Republicans are fucking psychos who don't care about life one bit. But like, it's also, I don't know where exactly the stipulations of the laws should, like, I don't know where the laws should occur.
Okay.
And that's okay. I will say one more. If we have nothing to argue, that's fine. But I will say, I do have a strong belief that like bodily autonomy is not real. That's a complete myth. The idea that you have a right to your own body, which is something you said before that a woman has, I don't think that makes any sense. It's fully subsumed by the axiom, like, don't harm people, obviously. If a child, let's say you don't have formula or whatever, this is 2000 years ago or whatever, that the woman has to give up their body in order to keep the baby alive. But we would obviously say the woman doesn't have a right to just walk away from that transaction, though.
In what sense?
You can't just say, well, this is my body, I'm not giving up my milk.
Possibly, sure. But there's no, it's unique in that there's no other part of our law or our morality that mandates somebody get to be inside of you like that.
Yeah, but I think that, I do think, honestly, some of my, like, sometimes when I'm biting the bullet, like, I'll say stuff. Have you ever heard the Good Samaritan argument that, like, donating a kidney when you're dead is not something we force onto dead bodies, so why are we forcing people to carry children? Like,
sure.
I think my issue with that is I think we should take organs from dead bodies. Like, that, I think it makes a lot of sense for us to bury bodies that are, like, fully disemboweled.
Sure. And because I don't necessarily disagree with that, but that's still but dead bodies probably shouldn't have the same rights as living women, right?
No, of course. All I'm saying is that bodily autonomy as an argument doesn't really make sense because it's subsumed by it, like if it's subsumed by don't harm people. And if you're harming someone even though you're doing something for your own body, then that shouldn't occur.
Well, you keep saying subsumed by, but I think it's just powered by. Like, why do we have bodily autonomy? Because if somebody's taking your autonomy from you, it's a form of harm, right?
Yeah, but if you are using your – oh, you're saying it in the negative sense rather than the positive.
Sure. Like, I think you can kind of, like, go back and forth on these, right?
Sure. Sorry, I don't know if I thought about it in the negative sense. Let me write that down. I need to think about that more because that's a good point. Cool. Okay. Yeah, maybe we don't disagree with anything, but yeah.
Well, I love you, buddy. Stay safe, be careful, okay?
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks for the chat.
All right.
I love you, bye.
Well, see ya. Bye.
Hello, what's up?
Oh wow, okay. Sorry. I had some points actually about the ethical stuff around not so much abortion, but like asking really what the purpose and what really the meaning of good actually is. And I don't really mean from a meta-ethical perspective, but, well, in the absence of real meta-ethical groundwork, what are we really defining good for and what's its purpose?
I don't know. There's probably some collection of, I'd probably put like some fucking Sam Harris topology of bullshit good experiences or something. Like, I think all of us have intuitions around things that are generally good. We all try to like orient ourselves in that direction, and then whatever maximizes those outcomes for the most amount of people, it's probably a good thing.
But, I mean, where did those intuitions come from? What was there? Can you consider there being a purpose behind those intuitions? I mean, they're not just random fluctuations.
Like capital P purpose or whatever? No. But like things that are emergent or abstracted from our just biological underpinnings? Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could even argue that it's an evolutionary behavior that we've developed.
Necessarily, yeah. You have, right? Yeah, if you believe in evolution.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's for some people, that's a struggle, I guess. But if you do believe in evolution and you do see that there's clear patterns in people's behavior of groups of people that have been independently apart, like generally murder is wrong in most cases, that's widely shared, then you'd start to see that it's clearly got an evolutionary advantage. And then, in a sense, ethics, and not people don't often like to talk about this, but ethics is actually an emergent evolutionary advantage that requires trust and cooperation, but ultimately that's one of the main things that has driven its development.
True. Although I would say there's probably some weird carve-out you have to make when you start getting too intellectual. Something that humans do that's really unique is we pass on information. And the ability to pass stuff on means that we have the ability to build on something outside of ourselves that maybe you can argue isn't good or isn't necessarily evolutionary. Like, everything we have now is obviously emergent from evolved structures. But, like, say, for instance, tomorrow, you know, we nuke the entire planet, then it's like, oh, well, that was an emergent property for evolution as well. But we'd probably say it kind of failed at that point, right? Maybe if there was ever a goal of evolution to design a more fit creature to reproduce and populate the planet and then they all die, it's probably not good, right?
Okay, yeah. I mean, well, evolution isn't perfect, right? So... I mean, in the end, I mean, there are studies on this that it's not possible for any life form to exist in perpetuity. Even its evolved forms, that eventually we find a cul-de-sac and then we're buggered. So it's not, we're destroyed by entropy eventually. So,
well, sure.
But it's not even just that. But evolutionary is a stochastic process. It randomly finds certain paths. And of course, because of that randomness, sometimes it finds the wrong path and, yeah, basically the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean to say that it's not the best path that we could have ever found, because the paths will always be finite. So still, it's one of the most effective tools that has emerged in biology. And therefore, ethics is incredibly important to us. And built into that is about the ethics of virtue. So not being a virtue ethicist, saying that that's the most important thing, but the virtue itself has a utility. And in this sense, this comes, and I'm bringing it back to, for example, abortion or treatment of life, is that the respect of life is a good virtue to have, and generally as a utility has a lot of function.
Well, wait. You said prospective life?
No, not perspective. Sorry, you've been too stuck in the abortion debate thinking.
Go back and say that again.
The respect for life is an important virtue. So even though it's not about utility itself, it's just about the habits that we tend to form. And so this could be, I'm kind of steel manning now the argument for abortion in some ways, that we should be considerate about life.
Sure.
But I do think within that, because of animals that are similar to ourselves, that we should be quite considerate towards animals, for example. But in the end, I think it hangs on the point that you made, and I think quite rightfully, that a fetus of a certain number of weeks, it's, you know, we don't take care, you know, we don't have laws around protecting insects, you know, and not pulling their legs off and that kind of thing, even if it's not great. And I think it starts to fall into that camp if people carelessly have an abortion after 8 weeks. It may be not morally great, but it doesn't reach that critical threshold of being something that
Sure. There's like a broader meta argument that I don't know if I'll have the chance to step into. But one of the big issues that I have, something that I overcorrected a lot on, is not assassinating somebody's character or not doing like kind of an ad hom regarding a particular belief they have. But when I was doing all the COVID research, the Peter Miller, that was his name, right?
I didn't watch all those streams.
There's like a random comp sci guy who wanted to research lab leak theory. He was very intelligent, very thorough, like epistemically sound. Like everything he did was really good. One of the things he brought up towards the end of one of his arguments was like, you know, you can't totally discredit somebody's argument just by looking at their other beliefs, but it does say something. It must say something about like the biggest lab leak proponents, that they also all believe in ivermectin. They all believe that the vaccines were evil. They all believe that none of them believe in climate change. They all think like there's something to be said for that. Something is happening there. Now, is that enough to dissuade an argument completely? Probably not. But when it comes to people like Lila, or when it comes to a lot of pro-lifers, it is interesting that they claim that they can rationally justify from a secular point of view why their beliefs are correct, But if I press on anything, they will perfectly fall in line with the constellation of whatever the Christian church or Catholic church or whatever the Christian belief system is, even if I feel like some of, a lot of those things push against some of the arguments that they use to support their pro-life position, the biggest one being contraception. For all of Lila and everything she might talk about in terms of, well, it's for building families and it's, you know, sex is a whatever bullshit, right? Whatever argument to make there, surely it is paling in comparison to murdering a child, right? That if I were to say, you know, these two people should never be allowed to go outside and touch each other's wieners, you know, that should be bad. The two boys shouldn't do that with each other, right? But if I were to say that, like, if we ban them from doing it, they're going to go out and murder children instead. Well, okay, fuck, whatever. Whatever we think about the other thing, it can't be that the murder children argument is acceptable, right? So for her to take a position on being so, like, morally opposed to contraception means that when I go back to the abortion, I was like, okay, hold on. This is not an argument that's powered by reason or logic. You're trying to employ that now, but you would never change your mind on this. And there is no reason or logic here. It's all being post hoc, you know, thrown together. And so you don't really believe that. And I think that's worth pointing out in a macro perspective, because she would never change. Even if all of her little issues were taken care of with regards to abortion, you could strip all of them, make it so abortion is 100% safe, make it so you can always abort at 2 weeks into pregnancy, like all of that, she would still have the exact same position. She'd be completely and utterly unmoved, because there is no reason there. It's being powered by her faith. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, actually, there is a tie with this and of other ideological perspectives. And being on the far left, for example, so people on the far left tend to have a similar set of views and policies that go together. And why should they go together? There's some policies that say rent control might be quite a good thing, but at the same time, you could have rent control, but really believe in, you know, free markets and elsewhere. Why is it usually that they go together, right? So you start to become suspicious when they believe in the full set of the ideological ideological policies, shall we say.
Sure.
But I mean, in the case of contraception, like if you were to, it also becomes then, okay, well, what practically can be implemented? So this again goes to the far left, and again goes to the abortion debate. Let's say, okay, we're never, even if we made it illegal, it's not going to be entirely successful. And by legalizing contraception, then you're going to reduce the number of illegal abortions that happen. And surely that's so much worse, uh-huh, that you're saying, then you should consider the legalization of contraception. Even if you don't think it's great, it's so much better
than child murder. Yeah, I wouldn't call it abortion. Exactly. Child murder. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So if she's going to frame it that way, then she's kind of contradicting herself, unless she doesn't think that one thing can be worse than another. And then, you know, you're in this black and white world of only good things and bad things, and even the tiniest bad thing is as terrible as the worst bad thing. So that's kind of where she's got herself stuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting going back to the discussion about what good and bad actually means, especially, I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but I had a discussion with Kafka on my channel, because I was kind of pushing a little bit about the rationality of Christianity. And yeah, and I mean, in the end, for me, there's an emergent ethics, and there's actually a lot of behaviors that are quite similar to kind of a Christian ethic, shall we say, because in the end, it's effectively universal, right? There's a general set of code that's, I mean, abortion's not one of them, it's a more controversial topic, but generally there's a lot of things that are, of ethical codes across the world that are matched, and I don't think it's any coincidence. So I think there's a kind of emergent pseudo-universal ethics.
Sure.
And in the end, I find myself agreeing with, you know, reasonable Christians such as Kafka, you know, I find myself agreeing an awful lot. So
yeah,
it's quite an interesting
discussion. But that should track with our evolutionary idea, right? Because if religions are emergent from people and other moral systems are emergent from people, we would expect all of them to share, you know, a lot of similarities, right?
Yeah,
and it says something, there's no long-term
exactly,
religion, I mean, where it's like murdering your neighbor is good, rape and theft are good, right? Like, well, it seems crazy that no religion thought of that idea.
Exactly, they wouldn't survive.
Yeah.
And exactly, you can even argue for religion itself as being a vessel for a package of ethics. It's a bit like a computer game that doesn't have any DLCs. It's just the full in-game, and you get that game, whereas some people maybe like to play around with DLCs and mod their games, and that's maybe more like myself. So it depends on the person as to which, you know, way you package up your ethics. So I can see even an argument for justifying, you know, religious ethics and following that code, if that suits your character. And in the end, it's the outcome that matters, right? So it's actually an interesting argument for, you know, religious ethical beliefs. So, I just found it kind of interesting. I've been watching a few of your older streams. You had an excellent one from like 5 years ago discussing your, I mean, it was also the editor, I don't know who edited it, but they kind of really put your points in a succinct way. And
oh, yeah, a guy did a whole thing drawing out high effort, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like a bunch of like slideshow kind of thing in the background and stuff. And it was, yeah, I realized actually, I think I share quite a lot of my when you said that meta-ethics is basically bullshit, that was one of the main things that pushed me away from philosophy as a academic discipline. It's like one of the biggest earners is meta-ethics and books and papers on this stuff. And it's full of isms that don't mean very much and trying to build out something out of nothing. And it's kind of,
Sure.
yeah, it's not really good
Yeah, but I
philosophy in
mean,
my opinion.
imagine like the how great it would be to discover like some universal verifiable source of truth, right? I understand why people what the allure is, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But just because something would be a good thing doesn't mean to say it exists. And
Sure.
it's the same thing as something being tragic doesn't necessarily mean it's immoral.
Sure,
There's
but I
lots
mean,
of
like there are some
factors.
things that are like baked into the human experience that are very hard to shake, right? And purpose is probably one of those things. We almost have to have it, right? We almost have to have a bullshit like the concept of like existentialism and there being meaning in life is a thing that we almost trick ourselves into believing, even if we know it's not true. Like I fully believe in like determinism 100%, but like I don't really operate that way because I don't, as a human, I don't know if I could. It would just be meaningless. It would be absurd, right?
Well, I mean, if you're a determinist, you clearly didn't have a choice anyway, so.
Exactly. Yeah, true.
But I mean, I don't know. I have come in points in my life where I've lost sense of meaning, and yeah, it's just not a nice place to be. And in the end, there's that sensual thing and that first person perspective thing that overrides, the rationalization of things, shall we say. And it's just nice to have purpose. But I also think it's a bit like virtue. It also serves a purpose.
Sure.
And
Yeah.
so it's good when that fosters, and it's good to try and continue it and maintain it and stabilize it and such like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree.